Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And this particular program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A tremendous Tuesday to you. Got a good show. So we start things off. Open phones in the first half hour. 1-800-636-8686. Got a couple of interviews coming up. One this hour, one next hour. We go back to back. So if you're wondering when the best time to call the show is, it's right now. 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to call, the smack-off's not your thing, you never want to hear your own voice, just hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me to Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the interviews coming up at 40 past hour number one, the head football coach at Louisville, Scott Satterfield. Top of hour number two, Robert Klemko on Kellen Winslow. Also in hour number two, Will Brinson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. So, if it sounds like we are front-loading, we are. All three interviews coming up in the first half of the program. It is a Podcast Tuesday. Bob Costas is my guest on the podcast. I've already done it. It's excellent. You want to make sure you see that. And that's going to drop after the program today. Again, it is toll-free. You want to call right now? You get Adam Hawk on the phone first, you get through him, you get in the seg, and then you come on. All right, starting with some baseball. Actually, specifically starting with the New York Mets. They're at it again. Now, let me just preface this by saying, I've got no interest in talking about these people every single day. I mean, I could talk about that tire fire every single day, but I really don't want to. In fact, it's the last thing on my mind. I do not want to do this, but they leave me no choice. Yesterday, it was because manager Mickey Callaway was mother bleeping reporters in the clubhouse. Also yesterday, because veteran starter Jason Vargas allegedly yelled at a reporter, and I quote, "I'll knock you the bleep out, bro," and then had to be restrained by a couple of teammates. So, like, I figured that would be my Mets take for the month, but it's not. And you know it's a bad day when you get hammered by Philadelphia 13-7, and that's the best moment of your day. That's because before the game, Callaway met with the media and was asked if he was sorry for his actions in mother bleeping that reporter. And of course, Callaway handled that about as well as he handles his team, which is to say he handled it terribly. So terribly that it included this.
Was fair to question whether you can handle the ups and downs of the season.
Oh,
you're going to have a public outburst like that because of an outcome. I mean, in fairness.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. You know, I mean, it's just part of this game. You know, it's something that I'm a passionate guy about baseball, and I'm a tough competitor. And sometimes you'll see it with the umpires, sometimes you'll see it with the players. And the thing is you guys don't need to see it directed towards you guys. That's you guys have a job to do. I understand that. I've always understood that. And you guys don't need it directed at you. That's the number one thing that I know.
What? That's literally one of the worst answers I've ever heard to an easy question. Billy Martin punched a guy one time, and I've got to be up here apologizing for this. It's not like I killed anybody. What, are you going to tell me that Connie Mack never F-bombed a reporter? I'm sure that John McGraw probably challenged a number of reporters to duels. Yet I'm up here apologizing for mother bleeping somebody. Like, you know it's an amazing apology presser when the presser does not actually include an apology. And the team has to call the media a second time to make him try and get it right and do it all over again. That is the best. And that's exactly what happened. Shortly before the game last night, the media was called back so he could run it back. And this time, he said that he did meet with the reporter, Tim Healy, and he did apologize.
In my meeting with Tim, I apologized for my reaction. I regret it. I regret the distractions it's caused to the team. And, like I said earlier, it's something that we'll learn from. It's something I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of the distraction. I'm not proud of what I did to Tim. For that, I'm definitely sorry.
You might not be proud of it, But I got to be honest, Skip, I'm really proud of you. Because nothing says I'm sorry and I regret it more than needing two shots to say I'm sorry and I regret it. All this guy had to do was apologize and it would have been over. Instead, he cites Billy Martin punching a guy and says he's just that competitive. And since he butchered it so badly, the team had to call all the media back and give him a chance to do it again. So, while the manager was lighting himself on fire, Jason Vargas, the guy who threatened a reporter and said, quote, "I'll knock you the bleep out, bro." Unlike his manager, absolutely, unequivocally owned his actions. No, he did not.
I think everybody's aware of the situation that happened yesterday. I think it's unfortunate for all parties, an unfortunate distraction. But tonight we got the Phillies to play. The team's addressed the situation. The organization's made a statement. And, you know, that's really all there is to it. So thanks for taking your time, and we'll see you guys after the game.
Oh, no, thank you. I think it's unfortunate for all the parties. I think it's an unfortunate distraction. Way to own that, JV. That's what I call leading from the front. Being accountable and responsible for what you say and what you do. And what you say is, "I'll knock you the bleep out, bro." And what you do is run across the room in order to say it. And best of all, this isn't even the most embarrassing thing about this team. Because all of this overshadows the fact that Mickey Callaway, the manager, is not actually managing the team. According to the New York Post, GM Brody Van Wagenen is managing the team by text message from his home. Quote, "According to an industry source, it was the rookie GM who instructed Mickey Callaway to remove Jacob deGrom from a game in Arizona earlier this month in which the Mets ace sustained a hip cramp. After deGrom was removed from the game, in the seventh inning, the bullpen imploded in a loss that added to the frustration of a 2-5 record road trip." The source said Van Wagenen, who was watching the game at home on TV, communicated with a member of the Mets support staff with an order to remove DeGrom from the game. Callaway complied with the order, and DeGrom was visibly upset as he departed the field, certain that he could continue pitching. End quote. Man, the Mets, they're freaking awesome. It does not get any better than that. Well, at least for me. You tell me what's better than a manager mother bleeping reporters and needing two tries to apologize for it while comparing himself to Billy Martin and saying that putting reporters to sleep is part of the game. And a GM watching the games on television and texting about pitching changes. Only the Mets. I mean, you go across town, I could put the Yankees on the clock for 10 years and none of that would happen, much less all of it. But that's how truly embarrassing the Mets are to themselves, their fans, and all Major League Baseball. I mean, that story should be so much bigger because it's so embarrassing and it's so absurd that BVW is skating right now because Callaway could not handle the basics of a press conference. Unless BVW is texting him and telling him to drop those 12-letter bombs on reporters. Even better, according to the Post, the text that was sent by BVW regarding DeGrom was, quote, "Get him out of there." Quote, "Get him out of there." If that's true, that's the best too. I mean, that's like something a fan would tweet, not what a GM would text. And when BVW was asked by Mike Vaccaro about the report that he's managing his manager, BVW's response was, quote, "This organization is about teamwork and collaboration and the ability to trust the manager on an everyday basis," end quote. Yet why don't you throw a little blue cheese or Thousand Island on that crappy word salad, BVW? Oh, but then again, when you think of the Mets, aren't those the things you think of immediately? Teamwork, collaboration, and trusting the manager. Of course, all of that. And mother bleeping reporters and threatening them. You guys are the best. I would say never change, but I know I don't have to because you can't change and you won't change because you all think you're killing the game, even as you're threatening to kill your beat reporters. Hey, Mick. Hey, Brody. See you both tomorrow. I know I will. And probably right here at the top of the program once again. I don't want to talk about these guys. I really don't, but they leave me no choice. 1-800-636-8686. It's toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, remember that time when Tommy Lasorda got into it with that guy from the Daily News and put him in an armbar, choked him out? Remember that? You remember that? Hey, remember when Joe Torre took offense to something somebody from the Post said and hit him with a trachea blast? Who will ever forget that? Remember that? Oh, man, you know what was great? When Tony La Russa was in Oakland back in the day and somebody was getting into him about Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire, and he put that guy in the chokehold and he turned purple and he choked him out, he said. Remember that? Yeah, I don't remember any of those things happening because they didn't. Only the Mets. Only the Mets. All right, some other topics today. And Mets fans, I'm here for it. Go ahead, give me a call. In addition to that, did you check out the NBA awards show last night in Santa Monica? Let me think of a word to describe that. Weird. Two words. Really weird. And not weird as in good, just weird. Something about those awards, that particular award show that's really off, which I want to get into, and I will a little bit later on. Oh, speaking of New York teams, the Knicks at it again. I could actually pose the question, who's more jacked up, the Mets or the Knicks? I can answer my own question, the Mets. But still, the Knicks are going to take some today, and I'll have that for you a little bit later on. Also, back to the NBA. It is the billboard season. I mentioned that yesterday. It's also the shade season. You see Danny Ainge get loose. That was solid. I will have that for you. Another story I might get to. Did you see that story where Cam Newton was on an airplane and offered somebody $1,500 for his seat? And that guy said no. Cam wanted some leg room. I mean, how many times have you wanted to do that? Of course, most of us do not have the means to do that. But how many times have you wanted to do that? You think he got jammed? He got what he paid for. He got the seat that he bought. What he didn't get was, quote, downgraded. Like me. Never forget who was first on the downgrade list. This guy. Good times. Dear Jim, a couple of emails for you before I go to break. Dear Jim, mother bleeping reporters is part of the game. Winning, however, is not. Regards the Mets, Lee Hartford. It's really something. This guy throwing that Billy Martin card, second year manager of an underachieving team, bro. I'm not saying that Billy Martin was the end all, but dude, you are not Billy Martin.
Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's different. And a marshmallow salesman in an elevator. Bro, you're not Billy Martin, and cold cocking reporters is not part of the game. Billy Martin knocked a guy the hell out once. I got to sit up here and talk about mother bleeping a reporter? Come on, man. You know who the hell I am? Yeah, Mickey Callaway. And your GM is managing your team for you. Hey, Rome, you better quit talking bad about my team. I'll knock you the bleep out, bro. Signed Jason Vargas, Jeremiah in Greenville. Yeah, he owned it, didn't he? That's the best thing since Macho Camacho told me, I'll come down there and knock you out, Mr. DJ Man. Mr. DJ Man. At Charger fan Dan tweets, the only thing missing from that presser was Mickey Callaway saying, boom, out of here.
Was it the right pitch? Yeah, it's good fastball down and away. And then Sledge, I looked at it on tape. Looked like he didn't even see where it went.
You thought they were both for pop-ups?
Yeah, didn't you? Do you think they crushed them?
First one I thought was out, second one.
Yeah, because you're a retard. You don't know about baseball. You're filling in for somebody.
How do you spell
retard? You know how to spell it. It's in your f***ing vocabulary. I'm sure you know.
Hey, you are classy, I'll tell you.
All right, go on. Out of here, you f***ing idiot. Greg,
no, you're a
hey, you point at me, motherfucker.
I tell you what, dude, I will knock you motherfucking out.
Holy bleep. That is still going on. Can you imagine that? I have not played that soundbite in years, I don't think. That is incredible. That's amazing. I mean, like, what went down with the Mets and Vargas and Callaway was pretty incredible. That was Brett Myers back in 07. That exchange is mind-blowing. I could do an entire show on that right now, off that exchange alone. It's been so long since I've heard that. Charger fan Dan. And keep in mind, when that went down, that's all we talked about for weeks, months. That soundbite carried for years. That was absolutely amazing. And not in a good way. I don't condone that at all. Boom, out of here. Why are you still standing there? Have you ever heard somebody F-bombs? Seriously contentious. Boy, that's a blast from the past. That happened in 07. 07. All right, then. We will come right back. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. Again, the interviews start at 40 past. Louisville head football coach Scott Satterfield, then Robert Klemko, top of hour number two. Man, boom, out of here.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
Boom. Spring is out of here. Summer's here. And so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer. And you know that heat can suck the life right out of you. Then imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now, save, and have your battery tested free of charge. It's free. If your battery does need replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, go to O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, you want to get ready for a WNBA showdown when the Minnesota Lynx take on the Indiana Fever on CBS Sports Network, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. We talk about a manager being undermined. The GM sitting in his living room and texting directives about pitching changes. I'm sure that makes Mickey Callaway feel pretty good. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of my younger son, Logan, pitching. Logan's 14 now. He's starting high school. But like on travel ball, the manager signals into the catcher what pitches he wants called. I wonder if they do that with Callaway. I wonder if Brody is texting in pitches. Let's go curve here. Let's go two-seamer here. Let's go fastball away here. I wonder if he's texting from his home. Pitches. Never mind pitching changes. Actual pitches. Yeah, Bruno Garrett 1 tweets, Jim, that Mets reporter was lucky that I wasn't there. His glasses would be spread across his face. Signed, Greg Gianforte.
Sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
God, what an amazing response that was. Yeah, we know, bro. Even if we didn't see the video, we knew. He just stated to the guy what he did to him. You just body slammed me and broke my glasses. Pretty much.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did
amazing
the same thing.
Amazing sound.
Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
The only thing missing from that was the guy going, right. And the next thing you're going to say is, you just body slammed me and broke my face. Unless you get the hell out of here. The sound on that is amazing.
of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
That sounds like the Bills Mafia putting a guy through 8 different tables. Almost as good as Brett Myers saying, boom, out of here.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
If you were listening to the show back in the day, I mean, like, that is such an absurd and perfect statement. Boom. Out of here.
Boom. Hey. Out of here. Boom.
When that went down back in 07,
boom.
I'm going to say for months, all we did was boom, out of here, everything. On the air, off the air, in the hallways, at home, in the movie theater, at restaurants, in the gym. Everything was boom, out of here. Boom, out of here. And it had been so long since I heard that, it felt fresh and new all over again. I mean, that is a wild, wild exchange. At JB Klein 2012 tweets, Mickey Callaway, Billy Martin, Brett Myers, please give me some Tommy Lasorda on Kurt Bavakwa.
Tell you what I think about it. I think that is very, very bad for that man to make an accusation like that. That is terrible. I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a 130 hitter like LeFay or Bavakwa, who could hit water if he fell out of a boat. And I guarantee you this, when I pitched, and I was going to pitch against a team that had guys on it like Bavakwa, I sent a limousine to get the to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup, because I kicked that his ass any day in a week. He's a motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that.
That's incredible, but not out of character. I told you I saw Tommy Lasorda not long ago, like in the past year. He was F-bombing me, like for no reason, just like, haven't seen you in a while, Rome. Where the bleep you been? He's something else. Tommy. I'd send a mother bleeping limo for him to make sure he was in the bleeping lineup, because he was bleeping terrible.
Bavakwa.
He's got a big bleeping mouth. Hey, Tommy, while we're on the topic of Bavakwa in baseball, how do you feel about golf?
You
tough sport, right?
It's easier to hit that ball that's coming at you 90 and 100 miles an hour than hit that little white ball that's standing still. You know what I don't understand? Here's a guy playing golf, and a guy coughs. Hey, shh, shh. And the announcer goes, now, ladies and gentlemen, he is now going to hit off this tee. It's 425 yards. The guy standing up at the plate, hitting off of Nolan Ryan, throwing the ball 95 miles an hour, and 50,000 people are screaming. And you tell me it's easier to hit a baseball than to hit that golf ball? What's the matter with you?
He's got a bleeping point, doesn't he? All right, 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, Robert Klemko, top of hour number two. He's been watching the Kellen Winslow case. We'll get into that. But when we come back, we'll talk Louisville football. The head coach at Louisville, Scott Satterfield, is my guest. That's next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Here is a bottom-of-the-hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I want to get into the NBA awards show last night. Weird. Weird. And not weird as in good, just weird. Timing of that thing's all off. We're talking about a bunch of awards and a bunch of things that happened months and months ago. You got all these crazy NBA stories that everybody's hitting on, like really hot angles, hot stories, and that's not what last night was about. So I will reset that for you a little bit later on. The Knicks go Nick again, but even they're not as embarrassing as the Mets right now. Robert Klemko, top of hour number two, so that's about a half hour out, and we are currently efforting Scott Satterfield, who is the head coach at Louisville. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones right now. Also, one more thing about the NBA. Yesterday, Danny Ainge made some statements that freaked a lot of people out. You know, if you look at what he said, some thought that he was talking about Kyrie Irving. In fact, most people thought he was talking about Kyrie Irving. And I will get into whether or not he was or was not, and what to make of his comments. And then on top of that, if you want to talk more about the Smack-Off, we hit that pretty hard yesterday. That was on Friday. That was the Silver Anniversary Smack-Off. A number of you said, come on, Rome, don't retire that thing. It was great. Run it back again and again and again. I have not made up my mind about that yet. Although, I'm not going to lie, I'm not stringing anybody along. It just seemed like that was a good way to walk off. 25 is a nice, smooth, fat, round number. But it was strong. And now you've got a guy who tied the all-time record for wins. Hey, Rome. That coach was texting directives? I should have tried that. Regards, Phillips, every other game coaching schedule with the Lakers. Man, that was the height of arrogance, wasn't it? When Phillip rolled in like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to coach road games anymore. I'm only going to coach games at home. In fact, I'm not going to coach the second half of games anymore. I'm just going to coach the first half of home games. You know what? That's too much. I think I'm going to coach the first quarter of home games. Out of hell with that. What do I look like, a workaholic? I'm going to coach the opening tip. Nah, I think I'm just going to go ahead and coach the layup drills. Now, you know what? I'm not going to coach at all and just take the 10 mil they're paying me. Rome, that coach was texting directives. It wasn't the coach. It was the GM, allegedly, from his home. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Louisville. He was named head coach in December. He was 51-24 in six seasons at App State. First coach to lead a school from the FCS level to FBS and immediately earn three consecutive bowl wins. Louisville is coming off a 2-10 season. They open up against Notre Dame on September 2nd. Scott Satterfield is my guest. Scott, nice to have you back. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. So it's been a little over a half a year since you arrived on campus. You've been through spring practices. Now we're just over 2 months before the season opener. What have the first few months at Louisville been like for you?
Well, just a lot of work, putting the team within the weight program, getting all those things done as far as trying to develop those guys, getting them stronger and faster, just like everyone else. And really just trying to ingrain our values into our program. I think that's probably the biggest thing with our coaching staff and on a daily basis is just trying to be consistent. And, the guys have been working really hard. They've bought into what we're trying to do here. And, we know it's a lot of work to do. We have a lot of things that have to get accomplished, but I'm proud of where our guys are at this point.
Louisville head football coach Scott Satterfield is my guest. Now, Scott, when you and I spoke last season, you were putting together yet another remarkable year at App State. You had a really good thing going at your alma mater. I know what that school means to you. There was no way you were going to leave unless it was for something really unique or something really special. So what was it about Louisville that attracted you so much?
Well, I think, first of all, I didn't really know a lot about Louisville, but I knew about the ACC. And, I grew up in the Raleigh-Durham area around a lot of those teams that have played in the ACC for many, many years. And over the last, handful of years, 5 years, I think, Louisville has done some really good things. Just a couple of years ago, had a Heisman Trophy winner, top five program in the country when Lamar was playing. And so I just think that part of it, enticed me to want to say, hey, let's take a deeper look into this program, and met with their athletic director, Vince Tyre, and he's, sold the program to me, and, I was excited about the opportunity coming and trying to compete for a championship in the ACC.
So, Scott, what about approach? For instance, from a scheme and recruiting standpoint, what you did at App State clearly worked. You had amazing success there. Will the same approach work at Louisville and in the ACC, or do you have to change up and adjust?
Well, I think just the core of what we did at App State, we can win. I believe it can win anywhere. Obviously, this is a different conference. You're in a conference now where most of the teams are very, very solid. I mean, you look at 5 or 10 years ago, there was probably a handful of teams that the ones you had to compete with, and now, any team in that league can win. With the coaching that they've hired in this league, I think it's an outstanding coaching. So But I think he can do it. I think, you know, the foundation of our program at App was being able to run the football and stop the run, I think. And that translates into any level, any year. You can go to any era, and you can see how that translates into a lot of wins. And so that's kind of what our foundation is going to be. And you got to be able to get great players. There's no question about that. You know, we see right now what, you know, the Clemsons and the Alabamas of the world are doing with some of the best players in the country that are going to play for them. And so, you know, we have to get great players to come in. And, you know, right now we're getting players that are maybe not the, you know, the very, very best in the country, but we hope they're going to be close. And then maybe in a year or two, they'll be the best.
Louisville head football coach Scott Satterfield joins us once again. You know, there's no denying the fact that the program's coming off a tough season. You know this, but it was not that long ago that Lamar Jackson was winning a Heisman Trophy there, and that team was in the top five. I know that you might not want to put a timeline on this, but what's it feel like to you? Is it going to be a long process, or can this thing be turned around pretty quickly?
Well, you know, as a coach, you know, we're just in the day-to-day process of it. You never know how long it's going to take. You know, I think we've seen great strides within the program, you know, just in this short period of time that we've been there. You know, we've been hot on the recruiting trail the last month. I think that's shown a sign of progress. You know, we think we've gotten the right players that are wanting to come be a part of our program. You know, then you got to go out there and you got to win some games. And so, you know, right now, probably heading into the season next year, people are not going to be picking us very high or to win many games. But, you know, if you can go out there and you win some games and show that we are, you know, having some progress, then hopefully the next class will be even better. And so on and so forth, and you continue to build that. You know, how long that takes, you know, what that looks like, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, our league as well. You know, how are the rest of the teams doing within the league and the ones we have to compete against? And so, you know, we just take it day by day and try to get the right ones in there that can help us win. And, you know, we feel like we've got a good foundation for that.
Scott Satterfield, my guest. You've got the in-league action, and then you open up against Notre Dame. Obviously, there are easier ways to start a season than by facing a team that was in the playoff last year. But in a way, is there a value in having an opponent like that to start, because that gets everybody's attention all offseason?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. You know, you're going to open up with a team that's, you know, that's every year is going to be in the conversation for, you know, potentially playing for national championships. They just came out, you know, the Final Four from last year. They've done a great job at that program. And so to play that team, you know, all the whole offseason, you know what you got to be ready for. And it's not like, you know, you're playing an SCS opponent or an opponent, you know, like that to start the season, where sometimes teams can kind of sleep through maybe the offseason. But, you know, we know what's at stake. You know, we're coming off a season last year that was not very good at Louisville. And, you know, defensively gave up a ton of points and, you know, just didn't win many games. So, we've got our players' attention, I think, with what we've been doing. And, you know, with Notre Dame coming in here, it'll be a lot of excitement, I think, the first game. We're playing on that Monday night, national TV. So it's going to be exciting for our guys. We've got a lot of work to do, obviously, playing a team like that. But I think you'd rather be it that way than the other way.
Scott Satterfield joining us for a few more moments. You know, when you talk about what you're building there, Court Dennison, who's on your staff, I thought had an interesting comment earlier in the spring when he talked about playing for coaches who did not talk to their players from the moment they left the practice field until they returned to practice the next day. He learned that he was not going to do that. So when you're rebuilding a program, how much of coaching is about scheme, and then how much of it's about relationships and getting the players to trust you?
Oh, I think it's probably more so the second, you know, thing that you mentioned there. It's so much more about relationships. And, you know, as athletes growing up, when I was playing, when many of these guys were growing up playing, you want to play for somebody that you care for, that you know has your best interest, and you're going to give everything you have for those type coaches. I've played against for other coaches that you didn't care as much for, and, you know, really did you put much into it. And so the relationships we're trying to build with these guys to let them know that we care, that we have their best interests, and we want them to do the very best and try to pull out every single potential they have in them. I think that's huge. And then you have to be able to play for each other. When you're playing for each other, I just think, you know, talent doesn't win those games. I think there's so much more involved in that. And so that's what we've been focusing on, those other aspects, playing for your brothers beside you. What can you do for each other? How you lift each other up, you know, being positive in a negative world. You know, all those things are the things we've been talking about in the offseason.
Being positive in a negative world is so key. Hey, Scott, what about your coaching staff? Do you try and build that same kind of rapport among the guys on the staff? And is that one of the reasons why you have basketball games with the coaching staff? They're pretty intense games. What is the result of that? And are you trying to build that same rapport with your guys?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, I think it starts with me at the top. And, I mean, we want a program that doesn't have any egos, starting with me. And that goes just down to our coaching staff and all the way through our players. You know, when we don't care, when you don't care who gets the credit, you can do so many great things as a unit. You know, a football game is comprised of over 100 guys, you know, unlike any other sport. And so you have to play as a team. You have to play for each other. And that starts with the coaching staff. So we're very competitive with everything that we do. But I love the camaraderie. I've always been a part of staff that like hanging out, that, you know, whether it be, you know, grilling out, you know, barbecuing in the backyard with each other, or playing a basketball game, or playing a game of pool or ping pong. It doesn't matter. We want to be very competitive, but we want to have fun with each other. I just think that translates when it's fourth down in a game offensively, and you're going to go for it. Even if you don't get it, your defense has your back. You know, those things, that just, it translates. And, and so we've always done that. I think we've always had staff like that, and I think that's why we've been successful.
Scott Satterfield joining us. Listen, before I let you go, let me ask you about your roster, because one of the things you've talked about is that when you first got there and you looked at that roster, there were a couple of numbers issues. For instance, there were only 8 returning scholarship offensive linemen, but there were 15 returning scholarship wide receivers. What kind of thoughts did you have when you saw that?
Well, I'm pretty shocked, to say the least.
Right.
You know, I truly believe you got to win in the trenches, and so we're always going to be able to recruit our big guys up front, D line and O line. I think that's huge, critical spots. And you know, I think there's a ton of skilled guys running around throughout the country, and you know, you got to get the right ones, but you certainly got to get the guys in the trenches. So we've made a concerted effort to be able to do that this off season to try to bring in a bunch of O line, D line. We'll continue to do that over the next few years to try to, you know, build that up. You know, but. That's going to be critical for us, is trying to handle this roster in a way that will enable us to win. And so that's kind of what we're doing. You know, we have some guys that are talented, O-line, D-line right now. We just didn't have the numbers. So we're trying to build those numbers up. Because when you get up throughout a season, you start losing some guys, injuries, and that sort of thing. You better be able to put the next guy in that can handle the load.
He had a great run at App State, 51-24 there. First coach to lead a school from the FCS level to the FBS and immediately earned 3 consecutive bowl wins. Louisville is coming off a 2-10 season, but got their new head coach, and they open up against Notre Dame on September 2nd. Scott, really nice to have you back. Thanks for sharing your thoughts about the program, and I'll look forward to doing it again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, Jim. Take care.
You too, Scott. Great talking to you. Scott Satterfield, Louisville head coach. All right, then. They open up against Notre Dame on September 2nd. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so coming to the end of hour number one, I've got time for a phone call if you want to jump in here. Don't forget, Bob Costas is my podcast guest. I've got a side hustle, the Jim Rohn Podcast. And for those of you who do not know yet, it is different from this show. That's premium content. That's like another show onto itself. It's free. You only have to find it. And by the way, if you subscribe, it'll find you. You don't have to find anything at all. And the reason we do that is I can do certain things, certain interviews. I can have certain conversations that just don't work on this program. Long-form interviews and conversations, namely Bob Costas. Bob Costas has been on this program, but generally, you will not have an opportunity to talk to Bob Costas for a half hour or more the way I did for that podcast. And he's really, really strong, as you might imagine. Look for that after the show today. Rome, the NBA awards show did not seem weird to us. Regards, the AVN awards show. Mark in Chicago. I'm not saying that. I'm not comparing it to that. I'm just saying it's weird. Weird for the NBA. I mean, the NBA does so many things so well. So many things so well. Except that show, that award show last night, that is a dog. They do a lot of things really well, but not that show. Top of hour number two, I've got Robert Klemko. Excellent, excellent NFL columnist for Sports Illustrated. And I'm going to talk Kellen Winslow Jr. with him. Wah! I just do that because if you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, you'd have no idea that the EP, Adam Hawk, just walked in. Dear Jim, even I believe the NBA Awards was awkward. Regards, circular urinal troughs at ballparks. Perry from Wilshire and Bundy. Hey, Perry, when was the last time you saw something like that? All right, stay with it. Robert Klemko is coming up next. Will Brinson, next hour. Open phone lines right now. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.
You're in a 5-minute break.